good evening, everyone. It looks a little fuller tonight, and that's because we have our children up. And it's good to have our children up here for a couple weeks before Master's Club starts in September. And I have a message tonight that's a little bit more geared towards children. So adults, I invite you to join in. And there's truth for all of us, but I want to preach a little bit to our kids tonight as we have our time together. Want to give you some updates here as we open the service tonight. This is regarding Carol Beaverson. So Carol has surgery tomorrow. Remember Carol? She has wrist surgery tomorrow. That's an important surgery for her, and that she can heal from that. And thankfully, it's not on her main arm, but nonetheless, if you're down an arm with a broken wrist, it certainly will create some inconveniences. And then Emily Slutz on Friday. So Emily has her procedure on Friday. So you can please remember both of them. I believe Jake McCleary is traveling now. Is that correct? I believe he's in the air now. Bill and Marcia landed safely. Today, about 5 o'clock in the evening, our time. Let's see, is that right? I don't know if I got that right. Morning, our time, right? So 8 o'clock in the morning, they got home. So, for those of you that know Marcia, the first picture I got was of her bird. Yeah, that's right. We want to praise the Lord for Harry Witham. Harry was able to come home. He did have a test on Monday. And all of that came back very good. And so Donna was praising the Lord, and we're praising the Lord with them over Harry's good report from his test. And so please be aware of those requests. Of course, we're really praying for Angela Borntrager and Aaron Milwick, because both of them are within 2 to 3 weeks of their delivery dates. And so we're praying that God will help them in these last days and then give them a safe delivery and healthy baby and mom. Please, please, please keep these ladies. I know they would appreciate your prayers here at the end of their pregnancies. And we want to remember them in prayer. And so I highlight them. And then also Sarah Mulrooney is delivering in October. So she's just a month down the road. So remember Sarah as well. Update on Jay Smeltzer. Some of you ask about him from time to time. Jay is having his last treatment on September the 3rd, I believe. And he communicated last week with me that the doctor is very pleased with the progress that he's made, and that is good news. And wanted to share that with you. Amy Smith, some of you have been praying for Amy. She is recovering from her surgery. They plan to be in town for about 6 weeks coming up, so I think that you'll get to see them in some of the services here, and continue to remember her in your prayers. I believe that's all that I have for you as we open the service tonight. If you would stand with me and let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing together. All right, Brother Tony Carlson, would you pray over the service? Amen. Take your songbooks. Let's sing together. God bless you.
Please turn with me to song number 291. 291, this song reflects our theme for the year, Alone with God, Higher Ground. It's really a prayer throughout. Number 291, we'll sing all three verses this evening of 291. Together.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land.
Second,
I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land.
The higher plane that I have found,
Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. On the last, I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll praise till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
You may be seated.
I believe we have a special by the Parks family tonight. Singing about the gospel, right? The gospel, the good news. Thank you, Anna, for your training and your work with them. If you have your prayer bulletin, just the announcements in your bulletin tonight, be reminded that Master Club begins in 1 week. That's 1 week, not from this week, but 1 week from next week. So not next week, but the following week. Fours and fives next week will be upstairs with us. Parents, please make note of that. On Wednesday, September the 4th. This coming Friday, cross at the ball field at the ministry building. We will have family softball at 6 o'clock or whenever you can show up. Good night of fellowship and good night to hit the ball around and enjoy some snow cones and just invite you out to that on Friday night. It is family softball. Bring your children. We'll integrate them. Just a really, really good night of fellowship and fun. Then those of you going to the men and boys camp out, that's scheduled for Thursday, September 5th through Saturday, September the 7th. We will start at 6 p.m. on Thursday. Supper will be at 6. If you're only coming for the evening, try to be there by 6 o'clock for supper. If not, you can show up afterwards, get leftovers. If you want to show up early to set up your tents and so on, you can do that at 3 o'clock. It does end Saturday at 10:30 a.m. All men and boys are invited. I believe the cost is $10. If you can't afford the $10, talk to me. We want you to be there. We are looking forward to that time together. Please, if you have any more questions on that and you missed the meeting, Pastor Todd will be back Sunday. Make sure you get the handout, has a schedule, has packing list, all of those kinds of things. Bless the Harvest Sunday is scheduled for Sunday, September the 29th in the AM service. We will have this special service for local farmers this day and have lunch on the grounds for everyone. If you know a farmer that you would like to invite, there are flyers in the back at the usher station. We invite you to get one of those, make a personal visit, let them know about the day, let's see who the Lord will bring our way to hear the gospel on that day. And then we are having a baptismal service or plan on having one on Sunday, September 22nd after the morning service. Baptismal candidates need to meet with Brad Peters on or before Sunday, September 15th. And Brother Brad, just raise your hand for those that are new right here in the black shirt and the red hair. And you can see him. Make sure you see him before the 22nd so you're prepared for the baptismal. And we'll look forward to baptizing some of the people that recently got saved. Let me give you this update. This is from Tony and Don Hess. If you remember, they were missionaries in the Ukraine. They came home with the hope of that door opening back up. It has not opened up. And so they have taken a church replant in northwestern Pennsylvania. That's primarily what this update is about. A little bit about Ukraine. This past Sunday, we baptized Stephen, a guy in his 20s who first visited 5 weeks ago. He invited me over to his house with a list of questions. We worked through them and shared the gospel. By the third visit, in a month of services, he speaks to me about his desire to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I reconfirmed again his salvation, since he is very new to me in the church, and I reconfirmed that he was saved, trusting in the blood of the Lamb as personal Savior. He is now one of our most blooming disciples in the church and still with lots of questions. We just finished VBS and had 12 first-time kids from the neighborhood who have been coming back to church nearly every time the doors are open or whenever I'm mowing or just about any time we show up at the church. They are loving the interaction with those new kids that they're working with. He writes this, God is working here. Visitors nearly every Sunday, 6 visitors this past Sunday, and on it goes with great things going on up here in northwestern Pennsylvania. There's no greater joy than to know that God is using you and your life is making a true difference. Then he goes on to talk about what he's doing over in the Ukraine. So he's still ministering by way of internet over there 2 to 3 times a week. And here's what he said about the church plant and about the church in the Ukraine. Pray for us here in Wattsburg. This restart is going well in numbers, but we need men to surrender and step up in ministry. He also says that about the work over in Crimea. And so very, very important prayer request from Brother Hess. Good news, he's going to be here for our missions conference this year. And so you'll get to see him again, be refreshed by him. And if you've not met him, he's just a firecracker. He's just a guy that has a great zeal and sweet spirit. You'll enjoy him here this year. All right, take your songbooks. Let's sing again.
You may remain seated. Let's turn to 736. This song, I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord, Forever I Will Sing, is based on Psalm 89, verse 1. If you know the Psalms, it's a book of songs, so this would be an example of that. 736, it's a short song. We'll just go through to the end, and then it finishes up at the top. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Good singing tonight.
All right, take your prayer bulletins out, and let's go ahead and take some a time of testimony tonight, and then some time of prayer request, and then we'll get into the Word of God after we pray tonight. Somebody with a good word of testimony that you would like to share. Brother Tony, we'll start with you tonight.
I got a call from my dad this afternoon, and he got word from his transplant team that they're going to let him have a building.
Wow, 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 wow.
A lot faster than they anticipated, obviously. A praise and a prayer request, still a lot that has to be done through that. They have to make sure that this person is matched.
Amen, amen. Tony's dad got a donor. A lot still have to be put in place, but that's a big, big deal in his life, and we rejoice in that tonight, praising the Lord for that. Somebody else, Brother Joe? Amen.
Kind of unheard of, but the really good thing is I have one more scan in 6 months.
Mm.
If that one's good, then I go to yearly scans.
Good. Really good news for Joe, if you didn't hear that. His tumor is stable, maybe even a little smaller, and very good report from the doctor. And he has one more scan every 6 months, and if that goes good, then once a year. Amen. Somebody else tonight with a testimony? Brother Steve in the back. Continue to pray that God will give her favor with the judge regarding some benefits, disability benefits going forward. All right. Somebody else tonight? Tabitha? Good. I was reading in Ezekiel 11 the other day, and God is our sanctuary, and that is a context of chastisement. So Israel was in captivity, but even in captivity and chastisement, he said, I will be your sanctuary, and the one who you can worship, and I will be present with you. And it's just a reminder that you may be going through some hard times with the Lord, but the Lord never separates himself per se from you where you can't worship him if your heart's right. And I want to thank the Lord that God opened up that understanding to me the other day. Brother Dave?
Yeah, a lot of the rhetoric out of Iran regarding their desire to destroy Israel is sort of toned down now. I think they are reassessing the situation and thinking maybe they can't pull out, they can't act as good because things are beginning to move.
All right, good report there. Somebody else tonight with a testimony. Esther? Amen. Amen. God is an understanding God. He's our high priest that can be touched with what we're going through. All right? Somebody else tonight. Good praises. Stephanie in the back. Amen. Right, right. Amen. It's very good. BVS had that bad broken leg. I'm sorry, I didn't. Go ahead, Stephanie, if you. Amen. Amen. Continue to pray for BVS over there, one of the young men in the ministry, but his leg is healing properly, and that was a major, major, major injury over there. So thank you for that update. Somebody else, Dad? Amen. 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 Numbers of praises tonight. All right. Anybody else with a praise or a thanksgiving? Lynn in the back. Go ahead. Thank the Lord for protection of their cabin. Little damage, but a lot of other people have experienced a lot more severe damage, all right? Karen in the back. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for the comforting truths that Karen's getting of God working with us and waiting on us. Amen. Somebody else tonight with a testimony before we get into prayer requests. Anybody else have something you want to share tonight? Brother Garland?
Two verses out of Isaiah 43, verse 11. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior for us.
Amen. The God that blots out our transgressions, right? There's no other God. There's none else. Amen. These are encouraging truths from the scriptures. And more encouraging, or at least encouraging, is that people are in the scriptures, right? That people are sharing something that they got from the scriptures. Somebody else? Anybody else with testimony tonight before we take some prayer requests? All right. Let's take some unspoken requests tonight. If you have some, please raise your hand. All right, you may put your hands down. We'll take some other requests before we go to prayer tonight. Beginning over on this side. Justin, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
right? This is James and Shannon, who were here on Sunday. And interesting work of God there, as they shared their testimony with me. They were looking for a sign, and they got something in the mail from our church. And that's how they arrived here. I don't know if it was a VBS flyer or newsletter or whatever it was, but they got something in the mail. And so pray that we can see them come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. Somebody else. Darlene? Ashley's mother's out of the hospital, but she's suffering from another infection. And while you're doing that, writing that down, remember Edna Waldemeyer, who's hospitalized tonight at York Hospital. She's dealing with fluid on the lungs, has a test, I believe, tonight or early morning. Hopeful that she can get home, but remember Edna. And then remember Cindy Wright. Cindy had a doctor's appointment this week. It went well. And I think that she's going to have a procedure done, so just pray as they continue to go down this path. I know that she would appreciate your prayers. All right, somebody else. Butch in the back.
Okay.
Yep. Good. Pray for Paul.
Pray that he makes that decision.
All right. Pray for Paul. He's put his faith in Jesus Christ, but pray that he would be faithful to the services. Supposed to be here on Sunday. Somebody else with a prayer request. Brother Ed.
We want to thank the church for praying for Linda's sister. She is out of the hospital, and she's doing a lot better. Linda talked to her earlier tonight, and we'll know more probably tomorrow.
All right, this is Linda's sister, and she's doing better. We praise the Lord for that, but continue to remember her in prayer. She had some pretty rough issues there that she was dealing with. So somebody else. Anna, go ahead. What is her first name? Sophia. This is a co-worker that Anna is witnessing to, and pray that Anna would be able to continue to shine light, the light of the glorious gospel, in her life. Anna's co-worker. All right? Somebody else. Sharon in the back. I can't hear you, Sharon. I'm sorry. All right. Ten years in prison for what? I didn't hear.
For praying.
Okay, yes. All right. Remember this lady. Also, I continue to get reports, personal reports of missionary on the ground, that there continues to be a real oppressive persecution over in the Middle East in a couple of the countries that some of our people have been to. And so please pray for believers, for protection and courage over in the Middle East. All right? Somebody else tonight. Steve? Pray for those that are believers to vote, all right? Somebody else. Angie?
Ms. Bonaluga, I'm sitting right here. I prayer for
Yes.
She said to me, this might be a silly question, but that man that got baptized, I was really burned and I was baptized as a baby. And so I was able to talk about the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Pray for Holly tonight. She has come here a number of times, and we'd love to see her come to know the Lord Jesus. Tabitha? All right. Pray for Holly to be able to... There's something going on in her soul. And you pray. I'll preach one more message on the family this week. And then I'm going into four gospel messages on Sunday morning out of the book of Acts. So the four gospel messages out of the book of Acts. So September will be a month, and a little bit into October, that will really be emphasizing the gospel with Bless the Harvest Sunday and people that have been coming. And so you pray that God will open eyes to the gospel as we begin to declare it on Sunday mornings. Sharon in the back, and then Lonnie. Cindy's surgery, if you didn't hear, is next Thursday. And we're praying that the insurance would cover all of that for her. All right? Somebody else over here. Lonnie? What'd you say there? Sepsis, okay. This is Lonnie's mother who's had an infection that she's not been able to get rid of, and now she's dealing with sepsis. You know, sepsis is very serious, so pray that the Lord will help her through that and cure her of that infection. Anybody else? Brother Jordan? Pray for the opportunity this Saturday down at the Baltimore Rescue Mission. I think Brother Jordan will be preaching. About 80 men that come to that. Tremendous opportunity to proclaim the good news of Jesus to those people at the mission. And Brother Garland. They're also open to a visit. I asked them if I could come out and visit, and they're very open to that, Rodney and Amanda. And then pray for Don and Tennille. We're trying to set that up for Saturday. That's another couple that's been coming. And then you heard about James and Shannon, who were here this week. So there's three new couples that we're excited to have attend our church, amen, and want to get out and visit them and share with them the good news of Christ. Anybody else before we go to prayer tonight? We covered everything? All right, let's go to prayer, find somebody to pray with this evening.
Thank you for the privilege to call out tonight on many, many fronts. And Lord, we thank you for answered prayer. We thank you for watching over our people here tonight. Lord, we pray over them. And Lord, variety of needs, some traveling needs coming up. And Lord, some surgeries coming up. And Lord, some witnessing opportunities that you've given us. And Lord, maybe we're close to harvest on some souls that we're speaking with. Lord, we pray that you would bring salvation to them. God, we pray, Lord, over the things that are taking place coming up. Lord, we pray for our nation tonight. We pray for Israel, God, that you would protect your people. And Lord, we pray for godly leaders in our government, Lord, that they would be bold, Lord, that they would speak truth, Lord, that Lord, truth's a blessing in a country. And Lord, I believe we still have some people that are willing to speak truth.
And so, Lord, I pray that you will bless them, those that are born again. Give them wisdom, when to speak, when not to speak, how to speak, what to speak. Lord, we're to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Lord, we're to be bold. Lord, I pray that you give those people in positions great wisdom. And Lord, we pray, Lord, over the Word of God tonight. Help us to understand it. Lord, help us to grow from it. Help us to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, lots and lots of children up on Wednesday night. And that means that we were getting close to either school starting or it has already started. How many of you children, school has already started? All right. These are the early birds. These are the ones that, you know, mom didn't know what else to do with them for this month. So let's get school started, right? But many of you are probably starting in the next week or so. And so I wanted to speak to you tonight on a sermon on six legs. A sermon on six legs. It's out of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 6, verses 6 through 11. If you're in your Bibles there, I would like you to follow along as I read Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. The Bible says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." Has anyone here ever watched an ant farm or an ant colony? All right, so many of you are familiar with that. There are some very interesting facts about ants. Most people, if you said, "Would you describe an ant as a boring insect or an exciting insect?" Most would say pretty boring, pretty plain what they do every day. But a little homework and learning about ants perhaps reveals a very wild and smart animal. And the Bible actually speaks about the ants. Did you know the ants are considered to be the smartest insect in the world? They have 250,000 brain cells. It's a lot more than I have, I think. 250,000 brain cells. They use special sensors on their legs to feel vibrations in the ground so that they understand their environment. Their antennae and hairs also help them to find food. You know, every creation of God is amazing. It is amazing. Did you know there are over 12,000 species of ants? 12,000, not 120, not 12, 12,000 species of ants. Did you know that ants keep daily shifts of working and sleeping and eating, those that have studied them? Did you know that fire ants inflict approximately $5 billion of damage in North America? Just fire ants. $5 billion of damage. These little ants, amazing. Don't try to drown an ant, because they can survive underwater for up to two weeks because they have extremely tiny breathing tubes which water can't penetrate. So if you, "I'm going to drown it in the sink." No, you're not. You're not going to drown it in the sink because it's got special breathing tubes. Every ant colony has its own unique scent so that intruder ants in a colony can be recognized immediately by their scent. "Oh, this ant doesn't belong to our colony." We know it by their scent. Interesting. If a man could run as fast as an ant relative to its size, he could do 34 miles per hour. Usain Bolt, probably the fastest man that's ever been recorded, ran 28. But if we measured what an ant does, it would be 34. Our ant colonies operate so efficiently that mathematicians and algorithms are based on their behavior. Interesting. People study the ant for efficiency. Ants carry 50 times their own body weight. Whew. I don't even want to total what that would be in my life. There's a special fungus that infects ants, though, and when it does, it takes control of their bodies. The fungus finds its way underneath the ant's part of its body and begins to consume soft tissue. Shortly after that, by unknown mechanisms, it causes the ant to leave its colony. The ant then finds a leaf, bites it with a death grip, and it dies. A few days later, the fungus releases spores to infect more ants. Some ant species have learned to recognize the infected colony mates and will carry them far away to protect the rest of the colony from getting this fungus. Proverbs 6 deals with three enemies that can destroy an individual. Number one, it deals with unwise financial decisions. Anybody ever make one of those before? Right here. Right? Deals with that. Number two, it deals with, in chapter number 6, it deals with laziness. Number three, it deals with lust. Three things that can destroy a person. It is not unusual for one person to be guilty of all three things that Proverbs reveals in this chapter. All that being said, God gives us a sermon about the six-legged insect. The six-legged insect by the name of an ant. Not to just give us interesting facts, but primarily for all of us to learn wisdom. In other words, to study the ant is to gain wisdom. So we're going to study the ant tonight. The ant, notice in our text in Proverbs chapter number 6, notice who is to go to the ant. The sluggard. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Interesting that the sluggard, it's kind of humiliating to tell a sluggard, hey, lazy person, go watch the ant colony. You might learn some things that'll help you in life. That's what Solomon said. Sluggard, go to the ant. Consider the ant's ways and be wise. The story is told of a farmer's sons whose job it was to hoe the garden. Someone came by and said, why are your sons hoeing the vegetable garden? You don't need those vegetables. You have a whole farm. He said, I'm not raising vegetables, the farmer answered. I'm raising sons. And they need to learn how to work. And so, how would you like to be called a sluggard? A lazy person. That's a horrible reputation. A sluggard, someone who's slow moving, unmotivated, sleepy, lacks drive, is often distracted, ignores opportunities. One person I was reading after said this, think of the way syrup oozes slowly out of a bottle when it's cold. That is a sluggard. Sluggish and slow and hesitant when he should be decisive and active and forthright. His life motto is, don't rush me. Don't push me. Interesting, the sluggard. I want to give Derek Brown some credit tonight. I read his article on the 8 marks of a sluggard, and many of the things I'm sharing I gathered from him. And whenever I share something that's pretty much verbatim from somebody, I want to give them credit for the work that they did. Let me give you a number of things about the biblical description of a sluggard tonight. Number one, the sluggard's defined by his sleep. He's defined by his sleep. How long wilt thou sleep? Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 9. O sluggard, when wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. Here's the deal. A sluggard lives a fantasy life, but not a realistic life. You know, there's a lot of people in America living like that today. They live, give everything to me, and I'm not going to work for anything. Yeah. You know, a sluggard's defined by his sleep. There's something else about a sluggard that's true as we look at the biblical descriptions, and that is the sluggard has cravings without fulfillment. That's a horrible thing in life, to have cravings without fulfillment. Look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 4. Proverbs 13 and verse number 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth, there's the craving, and has nothing. Boy, I'd like to someday, but they're too lazy to someday ever get to that. Therefore, they have desires, but they have no fulfillment of the desires. You know, the Bible has an interesting statement in Proverbs. The Bible says the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. A sluggard doesn't ever get to enjoy the sweetness of desires being accomplished. He doesn't see that. And because of that, it produces anxiety and restlessness. The desire of the slothful killeth him. Boy, it has an effect on him living this kind of lifestyle. Children, listen to me tonight. You don't want the reputation of a sluggard. What else about a sluggard? A sluggard often offers excuses why he can't do what he should be doing. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 4. We're looking at the biblical description of a sluggard tonight. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. It's too cold out to move the snow, is what the Bible's saying there. It's too cold to go out into the field. I know there's harvest, but it's a little brisk this morning. I don't think I'm going to do it today. Children, in your vernacular, this math problem's too hard, Mommy. I can't get it. All right? Now, you may have a math problem that's harder than what you can understand, and you may need to get help. But you ought not to be a sluggard and think that it's too hard and offer excuses as to why you can't do it. You know, Mommy may teach you to make your bed, and she may come back and say, you know, it wasn't a bad job, but this needs fixed. There's a wrinkle here, and we want you to tuck your blankets under the pillow, or we want them to go over. And you may just say, well, that's just too hard, Mommy. I'm not going to do all that. Watch it. Sluggards offer excuses. That's what we find in Scripture. And as you start your school year, young children and young people, I want to encourage you not to develop the reputation of a sluggard. Don't develop that reputation. Be somebody that works hard at what you should be doing. There's something else a sluggard will not do. He will not start things. He will not start things. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 9, how long wilt thou sleep? Hey, when are you going to get started with the day? Hey, when are you going to get started on that? You know, there are students in school. There's two kinds of students. There's students that look ahead and they get a little bit done at a time on a big project so that when it comes to due date, they're not stressed out. And there are other students that they wait to the last minute and they don't get it all done, and they never start, and they never start, and they never start. And then they're right up against it, and then they're talking to their mom and dad or their teacher and saying, you know what, I don't know if I'm going to hit the deadline. Whose fault? The sluggard's fault. The sluggard's fault. Because the sluggard doesn't start. They don't want to start things. You know what else is true about the sluggard? They don't finish things. They don't finish things. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Here's a man that went out hunting, and boy, he got a nice big buck. And I mean, he came home and brought that buck home and was proud of that buck, but he never cut it up. He never put it in the freezer. He never roasted it. What the Bible's saying is this: he let it go to waste because he didn't finish what he started. That's a sluggard.
A sluggard doesn't finish what he starts. And so it's important that we understand that these things are true. There's something else about the sluggard in the scripture, and that is this: the sluggard will not face the hard things. They will not face the hard things. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 22. Proverbs chapter number 22. The sluggard refuses the hard task. How many of you students here tonight would say, I have started school or I'm going to start school and my worst subject is math? Yeah. Some just don't like math. Put your hands down. How many of you would say, English, Pastor Chris, English, I don't like English? Raise your hand. All right. Anybody not like English? All right. We go through other subjects. And no matter how your day goes, you're going to have to face that hard subject, aren't you? And when you face that hard subject, what God's doing is he's helping you to learn to not be a sluggard by facing it and working on it. Those of you in my Building Good Study Habits this fall, you're going to learn to do the hardest subject first. Ah! I don't like that, right? Sluggards don't like hard things. And if we went around and we interviewed every man here tonight about your job, you know what all of them would say? There's hard things about my job. There's things that I don't like to do. That's part of my job, by the way. That's part of every job. But if I'm not going to be a sluggard, then I have to learn to face the hard things and do the difficult task, right? That's part of life. That's part of growth. Did you know that the sluggard's life is also beset by constant trouble? In the Bible, in Proverbs 15, verse 19, the way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns. If you want to live a sluggard's life, you want to live a life that has these qualities in it, it's going to be hard. It's just going to be a life of constant trouble. Did you know that the sluggard drives other people crazy? In your Bibles, Proverbs 10, verse 26. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't just drink. I'm not going home tonight grabbing a bottle of vinegar, putting it in a cup, and, oh, this is wonderful. No. Vinegar's nasty tasting. I drink it one time when I'm sick. All right? And a smoke to the eyes, that's not a pleasant feeling either. So is the sluggard to them that send him. I learned an illustration of this one year of not taking care of things in my life. I was slothful as a child. I had a beautiful bike. It was a 5-speed. It was orange with a banana seat. And it was really, really sharp bike. And my dad taught me growing up, when you're done with your bike, make sure you put it in the garage, close the garage for the night. One night I thought, well, I'm tired. I don't think I'm going to do that tonight. And I left my bike out in the front yard. And I woke up to the next morning with no bike. Somebody stole my bike. And you know what? It was my fault. I was a sluggard. I didn't take care of what God gave me. And so sluggards refuse to take care of what God has given. They're unteachable. They're self-deceived. And they won't become a leader. Here's the truth about a sluggard. He will never lead somebody else at the job. For the Bible says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Because of his laziness, the sluggard will not wield much influence. He won't do what is required in leadership, diligence and sacrifice and long hours and pain and perseverance. He doesn't want any of that. And because of that, he'll never lead anybody else at the workplace. And so I would advise you tonight, church, don't provide material aid to sluggards. Sluggards who live off the labor of others are thieves. And you should know tonight, Proverbs does not support communism. It may be the idealism that's being spread all over the world today, but it's not the idealism of Proverbs. Proverbs is work. You work and you earn what God brings, and God will bless you for your work. Not everybody else work for you and you rob from everybody else and you sit on the side and don't do nothing. That's all extra tonight. All of us must avoid the reputation of a sluggard. There are three qualities I want to give you here quickly as we close to avoid the reputation of a sluggard. Number one, diligence is required. Diligence is required to avoid the reputation of a sluggard. The ant had diligence. The ant, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. This is hard work for an ant. They're carrying back and forth. They're working hard. Diligence is defined as constant effort to accomplish a task. That means, students, that in your schooling, as you're under a teacher or you're under teachers at home, that means that you're giving constant diligence to accomplish those subjects. Whatever the goals are for that day, you work hard. You give yourself to it. You constantly work at it until you're able to finish the day's work. That's diligence. Diligence is not, "Mommy, I studied for 5 minutes. Can I take a 20-minute break?" Now, it's good to have breaks. We understand that. But diligence is constant effort to accomplish a task. It is the exertion of the mind or body without unnecessary delay or sloth. By the way, these are definitions from our 1828 dictionary. Exertion of mind or body without unnecessary delay or sloth. It means to give due attention to. Those of you that are children, I want to help you with perspective tonight as we talk about avoiding the reputation of a slugger. Would you look at your schooling as great opportunity? Not a dread. Oh, it's school again. Do you understand some boys and girls don't get opportunity to go to school? I was talking to somebody this week, and the literacy rate, the ability to read in the world is way, 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 way low. Many boys and girls your age, they don't know how to read, and they will never get an opportunity to learn how to read in their lives. And you have those opportunities. And so give attention to it. Work hard at it. Give constant effort. Stay at even those hard subjects. Work hard at those things. Someone wrote, "Diligence is visualizing each task as a special assignment from the Lord and using all my energies to accomplish it." Boy, students, if I could encourage you tonight, really work on your diligence. Really work on getting up every day, and boy, I'm ready, and I'm preparing myself, and I'm getting myself ready, and I'm going to have my time in the Bible, and I'm going to get my chores done, and I'm going to jump into school, or if I got to go on a bus to get to school, I'm going to give all my energy. This is something God gave me to do. I have a privilege to do it, and I'm going to do it with all my might. And you know what? God blesses diligence. In your life, if you develop diligence, God's going to bless your diligence. Number two. Second one is, initiative is required to avoid the reputation of a sluggard. Initiative is knowing and seeing what needs to be done and doing it before it is asked. All right, let's come down to the Speckhouse family tonight. And let's say it is Aliza's first year in school. Now, first year in school for Aliza doesn't know what maybe she's supposed to do. She doesn't know that she's maybe supposed to set goals, or she's supposed to do this book, or she's supposed to score it, or she's supposed to review this. And so with mom, if she's homeschooling, mom's teaching her how school's supposed to go, right? Good, she's learning. As Aliza gets older, if she doesn't want the reputation of a sluggard, then she has to develop initiative. Learn from the ant. What's it say about the ant? The ant has no overseer. The ant has no guide. In other words, Aliza, as she grows in her character and her diligence, she wants to grow to a point that if mom wasn't around to help her with school, Aliza would still do what she knows she's supposed to do without mom asking her. That's learning from the ant. And a young person that has initiative, you know what? They are developing wisdom. But young people, can I tell you this? If we're to learn from the ant and be wise, and it's obvious here the ant has initiative, if we never develop initiative, then we don't develop to be wise. So all the children here in school, It is important that you're diligent. Boy, you give all effort, constant effort, till I finish the task that God gave me in my schooling. But secondly, that I develop initiative that even if the teacher's not around, I'm going to do right. I'm going to do what I know to do, and I don't need to be told to do it. I'm just going to do it. That's initiative. And I'm telling you, some of you students, if you did that, your teacher or your mother, their eyeballs might fall out, roll down the floor. In the kitchen, you might have to pick them up and say, Mom, it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to do this again. It's okay. Initiative. And then lastly, being responsible is required to avoid the reputation of a sluggard. It is knowing and doing what both God and others are expecting from me. That is, I'm accountable. I have to answer to someone. And young people, I want to help you in your schooling. I want to help you this year as you launch into a new year. It's a wonderful privilege to be able to learn. God's given you a mind. God's given you people that are willing to invest in your education to help you, to bring you along so that you can learn and grow and be a productive servant and Christian for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't waste it. Remember, if I don't want the reputation of a sluggard, I have to learn to be diligent. If I don't want the reputation of a sluggard, I have to learn initiative. If I don't want the reputation of a sluggard, I've got to learn to be responsible. That means Mom may have a list of chores for you to do. That means you do them. That means Mom shouldn't have to ask a second time, did you get those done? When are you going to get those done? But that you do it, you do it. It's part of your diligence and your initiative and your being responsible. By the way, let me encourage parents. It's okay to put some weight on your kids. That's how these things are developed, is they have some responsibility. And as they have responsibility, teach them diligence and initiative and being responsible. And when they don't hit those marks, bring back. Reprove them, correct them, and bring them back to those character qualities and keep building those character qualities in their lives. Do you understand America's where it's at today in many respects because these very things are not being taught to children? These are matters of character, right? They're matters of character. All of our children, I want you to come forward as we close our service tonight. All children, real quickly, move up front. We want to pray over you in your school year to dismiss our service this evening. All right? We love you. We thank the Lord for you. You're a special part of our church. You bring smiles and you bring joy to many here. And we're thankful you have the privilege to go to school. And we want to pray over you. Would you stand with me tonight? And we're going to pray over them. And then after that, we will dismiss them. Brother Dave, would you pray over them tonight?
Lord, we pray tonight for these students who are launching out in another school year. Lord, we know that your word contains what is important, what to emphasize, the practices that are successful. Lord, we know that we live in a world that's sort of slacking off. Pray that we don't get infected by that. Lord, we thank you. Young minds willing to learn, willing to operate in a positive manner. Just pray that this will be a very profitable and instructive school year for these students here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him
and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.